We turn now to our gospel reading of the day. This is the very last verses of the Gospel of Matthew, and it's an important let us all listen for God's word in these words from Holy Scripture. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we know that no human words can ever fully describe the mystery and power of your love and grace. And so we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of us here may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. My family used to play a simple game about choices that helped us know each other a little better as we grew. It's a game everyone can play anytime, an either-or game that doesn't require any special equipment. You just respond with the first answer that pops into your mind. It goes like this. The San Antonio Spurs or the Miami Heat? Stanley Cup or World Cup? Tennis Open or Golf Open? Kanye West or Jay-Z? Taylor Swift or Dolly Parton? Harry Potter or The Hunger Games? Charlie and the Chocolate Factory or Matilda? Mountains or oceans? Dogs or cats? All right, you get the idea. There's no wrong answer. The answers just help us know each other a little better. And the game is a lot of fun while it lasts, but of course, sometimes there is no choice to be made. I mean, Maya Angelou or Ruby Dee? May they rest in peace. Old Testament or New Testament? Creator or Redeemer? These things go together. They can't be separated. Besides, there is a real danger in limiting ourselves to either or all the time, in seeing the world as a place where there is not enough room for both and. A new study recently came out that revealed that people on the ideological far left and the ideological far right tend to see those on the other end of the spectrum not just as people with whom they disagree, but as actual enemies. Enemies. Truth resides in one or the other, not both. People seem to think, with me, not you. There's a danger in that. So perhaps this slippery tendency toward polarization is one of the reasons that from the very beginning, God declares the goodness of both and. Heavens and earth, sky and seas creeping things and winged birds, male and female, work and rest. Creation, as God intends and blesses it, holds both and together. Because that is the way God operates. Together, not alone. Both and. God the Creator and God the Spirit that hovers over the water. And God who says to other members of some kind of divine council, let us make humankind in our image. We human beings, it seems, are the product of a sacred consultation. Some commentators have said we are created in the likeness of a God who actively shares power with others. We are made to coexist, in other words, made for company, not isolation. Maybe that's why, according to the story, God created humanity and wild animals of every living kind on the same day, the sixth day. We are meant to inhabit the earth together. Not just me and you, but me and you and you. I have to share this. I saw a fox this morning running across the church parking lot as I came into the office. Reminds me, we coexist. But God bestowed human beings with a unique responsibility that sets us a bit apart from the other living beings. In some of the most unfortunate and awkward translations from Hebrew to English, perhaps in all of Scripture, the Genesis text we heard says that God charges the man and the woman to subdue the earth and have dominion over every living thing. But what if we heard subdue as cultivate creative potential? And have dominion as provide care? What if God commands us to cultivate and nurture every living thing that lives upon the earth? Sounds like a different kind of role to uphold, doesn't it? That was God's real request of us from the beginning. But how easily we forgot. How easily we forget. In the words of the 19th century poet and Jesuit priest Gerard Manley Hopkins, words that are eerily resonant, the world is charged with the grandeur of God, yet generations have trod. What would Father Hopkins have written today? Between the coal ash in the water and the toxic carcinogens in the air and the fracking about to happen in the soil, humanity's mode of relationship with creation has too often been us or the earth, not us and the earth. We have trod all over the world's grandeur. Some of the hardest work before us then as people of faith is to own our responsibility and to carry on with hope and in the words of a poet of this generation, to make common cause with the land, again, diminished as it is, and to begin again. Beginning again is the hard, hard spiritual work before us. But it was hard too, for the 11 disciples who gathered on a mountaintop after the first Easter to begin again. Imagine. Hard for them to believe that Jesus was with them again after everything he'd been through. No wonder the disciples worshiped and doubted. They were worse for the wear. A small band of bedraggled, disheartened followers, down one from just the week before. What in the world could they possibly do together? Gathered in the trees with a leader whose appearance they weren't sure they could verify. Hardly sounds like a promising beginning to a movement. To these half-certain, half-scared followers huddled along the tree line, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Seems like a slightly unrealistic expectation, if not a rather foolish proposition. What chance did they have? What were the odds they would spread the word any farther than the base of the very mountain they were on? With both the creative power of the Father and the mysterious grace of the Holy Spirit and the enduring love of the Son, it looks like anything is possible. May it be so. Amen. Friends, we welcome you again to United Church of Chapel Hill. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. And if you are worshiping with us for the first time today, we are certainly delighted you are here. Whether you are a father or a mother or a child, we will be family to you. Whether you understand the Trinity or are struggling to understand it, we will share our faith together. Whether you are a saint or a sinner, we are all on this path of faith together. So we are glad you are here, and let us respond to God's goodness and God's gifts by the offering back of our lives and of our own gifts. And as our ushers begin to pass the plates, we ask that you begin to pass the friendship registers, which you should find at the end of each pew. Please sign those and get to know those sitting around you, and let us build up the body of Christ together that way.